feels like forever, doesn't it? The Koshcast comes roaring back like Barcelona in the quest for La Liga. In the Premiership, Kane keeps producing, while the FA Cup sees Tactics Tim get a brace of wins over Tony Pulis, and Martin Skrtel just gets a brace. In Spain, it's a case of Real Madridful. In Italy, Salah runs more rings around Juventus than the Italian courts in the mid-2000s, and I didn't have a third thing. Shit.
That's actually pretty good. We should keep that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. To the Koshcast, it has been two bloody long weeks since we've done this. Although, I mean, last week we did it with Bruce Grobbelaar, so that was alright, wasn't it? Anyway, how are you boys doing? Mohamed?
I'm doing great. Yes, it has been long, but yeah. Last week was definitely worth it.
Bernie?
Oh, I was like, do I just go after him, or do I get an introduction?
I'll invite you to the party.
Well, thank you, thank you. I am well, thank you, Alexander.
How did you enjoy Bruce Grobbelaar?
Bruce Grobbelaar was an inspirational figure. He's now my hero. I love him. I want to be Bruce.
And Roche, you feel fairly similar.
I would have to second that statement. I think we had a moment when he toasted me personally because it was my birthday on the day.
That's true.
And he looked me in the eye and just held his gaze. And I think I remember that the most.
I think he said, "I'll drink to that."
I definitely did. Yes.
Okay. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. We are just comping the audio for that together and should be ready in the next few days.
Yeah, midweek. Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of midweek,
yeah,
there were some midweek games in the Premier League. Everybody in the top eight won this weekend, so nothing really changed at the top of the table. Chelsea, leaders, they beat West Ham 1-0. Kind of not fortunate, but it was one of those games that Mourinho described as, you know, you just got to grind it out.
Yeah. But like, what was it, 18th century football?
Yeah.
A couple years ago? Similar game.
Mm-hmm.
Courtois really, he was dropped for a bit, and then...
Carling Cup finally.
Like Czech played that, and I know he really wanted to play that game, because he only just said it. But at the same time, he really repelled West Ham's attack time after time after time. And if that's not a baptism of fire, I don't know what is. So I'm really happy for Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, Richard, we saw Chelsea beat Tottenham in the Carling Cup, and that was a big week for them.
Surprise, surprise, with the 2-0 wins. But yeah, standard regulation Chelsea games. I mean, they got PSG coming up soon, and I think that they're saving their resources in a way for that game.
It's the most important game, because Chelsea have quite a buffer at the top now on City. I think it's like 5 points or a game in hand or something like that.
Yeah. So that they can rest some of their players... for these lesser games. I think they might have played Leicester City recently this week.
That's before they played. Oh, okay. They played the West Ham this weekend.
Yes, West Ham. It was a regulation 2-0. Yeah.
No, it was 1-0 actually. It was very. I mean,
it's been 2-0 for so long. Yeah. You just take it for granted.
You think they were playing Tottenham?
I mean, did Mikel come on and play
Chelsea games?
Did Mikel come on after 1-0?
Probably, right?
Yeah. And if he doesn't, he's got nothing else to do.
So Chelsea are still top of the table. I think they're. But at this point, we're pretty comfortable to take the league.
Yeah, although Chris Waddle put his money on Man City. But then he also says Pelenty, so...
Pelenty. Yeah. That's actually in Arabic. People say that Pelenty instead of penalty. The L comes before the N.
Oh, in Nigeria we go Penality.
Which is very nice. It's actually like the law. Yeah,
I don't think anything's new with saying that Chelsea is going to win the league. We've been saying this all season, and they've been on top all season. And surprise, surprise, they're about to win the league.
Mourinho doesn't really let his team slip. I mean, it's not something he does. If he's up there, he's up there.
He's not Gerrard.
Oh,
good thing
brilliant.
He didn't sign him.
City, who are trying to keep up the pace. At this point, I think trying to just hold on to second even.
City are doing a real Roma right now.
Yeah, they are. They beat Leicester 2-0. It wasn't as comfortable as it should have been. They were coming off a bad run of form. Kompany got dropped. That was the biggest talking point this game.
What do you guys think about Kompany being dropped?
I want to hear more things about Kompany being dropped. More than anything, because we know he has a lot to say. I mean, Alex, we've had this argument for a long time. And it's not an argument. I just think that he's having a bad patch of form.
Yeah.
Whereas Mohamed thinks that he's just proper shite.
Yeah, no. Even when he was playing well, for some reason, I could just see some things in his games that I just didn't like. He's too gung-ho sometimes.
He is. Yeah. He's one of those, like, he reminds me of Vidic at times, like at United, where he would always go for the tackle, and if the attacker has, you know, nifty feet, he's gone. But Kompany's been there actually a lot longer than we remember. He's been there since
2009.
Oh, he was there since the revolution.
He's been there forever. Yeah. So I think he's on the decline at this point, and that's okay. He's a human being.
I think we're being slightly harsh on him. I think that they have the fixture list and schedule. They're coming up with a big game against Barcelona away. And this is a home game against Leicester, so, you know, it's not that big of a priority. And maybe he's being rested, given a few extra days off to work on some aspects of his game to recover in time for that.
Yeah, people always say, like, if you just take him out of the firing line, when someone's, like, the media are on you, everyone is on you, you take him out of the firing line for a bit, and then they come back stronger. Let's hope he has a good game against Barca.
It makes sense if there was any game to rest him, it's Leicester at home.
Absolutely.
Did you hear what, was it Joey Barton, I think? Did you hear what his analysis was?
No.
He thinks Vincent Kompany is top-heavy. Thinks he's working out too much.
Ah, okay. So, I mean, it's not the craziest thing he could have said. I was expecting much worse.
I just like, are you in a position to talk?
No.
I don't know.
I mean,
no.
Who really criticized? I want people to come to go in on Joey Barton.
Joey Barton is top light. He has no brain.
It's tough to take on Joey Barton because he actually would punch someone in the balls.
Yeah,
which he has done recently.
Yeah, he has done that.
Yeah. So, anyways, Leicester again not playing bad, but not getting the points. That's been their main problem.
They look about done.
Yeah. United Newcastle. Everyone knew this would be a hard away game for United, especially again. The form they're in is different than the points they're picking up. They've been picking up. I think they've only lost 2 out of their last 22. Unbelievable. That's like champions kind of form, but it doesn't look like it on TV.
They're in spitting distance of third, no?
Oh, yes.
So let's get right into that then. Roche, you saw that Cisse Evans kind of spit gate. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, the aftermath, Jamie Carragher said that he would rather be spat on than have his leg broken, or spit on someone than have his leg broken.
I concur.
Sure, it was a rough tackle to begin with, both on the floor. In slow motion, you look at Johnny Evans, he's looking right at Cisse when he spits.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small little spittle.
Not as big as Cisse's, to be fair.
It didn't seem like he really hawked one out and unleashed.
Right.
But
no phlegm.
Time,
there was no phlegm.
I'd say he denied it. You know, it's quite possible. We don't know where it landed. But, you know, I think a 6-game ban for both players.
Well,
so
Cisse
you
get 7 because he already had a red card this season.
Basically, you guys are saying that Evans' aim is not as good as a pigeon's aim.
I'm saying that maybe with this ban, his aim should have been slightly better.
Might as well
get the guy.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to get a red, I always think... Get it for something proper. Like.
I mean, I hear the argument of a two-footed lunge is worse than a spit. I get it. It's just you're a grown man. Like don't be spitting at someone else. I can understand you get a band of that length just for being a stupid person.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But at the same time, sure, if you look at it, does Johnny Evans really spit on him? I don't know. I don't even care. If I'm Johnny Evans, I would just admit that it happened anyway because the FA is going to do you
anyway.
Just admit
Let's
it happened.
Let's not be a badass.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
We don't need a saga.
No
one needs
if
that.
If anything, Evans needs way more street cred, man.
I guess.
Yeah.
He's now going to miss a number of big games, I think.
Almost
Arsenal,
the rest of
Chelsea,
the season.
I'm
City.
Happy with that. Johnny Evans can miss as many big games as
he wants. But I think that might be misleading because with Evans in the lineup, there have been a lot more clean sheets and no losses in recent times.
When he plays well, but he's not consistent.
The thing with that stat, I read a stat saying that Phil Jones, they've only won 31%. But it may not just be because of Phil Jones. Phil Jones plays better as a center defender than Johnny Evans ever does.
Guys,
so I'd rather have Phil Jones than have Johnny Evans.
We all know it's down to Van Gaal.
I mean, even if you go back to the game, it's like, Di Maria is playing like crap, clearly. But would you rather have Di Maria, Yanezai, or even Ashley Young, who scored the goal that won the game? I'd still rather have Di Maria, but Ashley Young is doing the business this season.
Question. Roche, have United ever scored a worse goal than that?
It's hard to say. But in terms of big goals... I think that was right up
the
there.
The 1-0, like 88th minute?
I mean,
big 3 points.
It was a tidy finish, but I mean, the lead up to it was something out of...
Oh,
symbolic.
Oh, it was absolutely terrible. I mean, Rooney was chasing a loose ball, just randomly chasing one, and somehow somehow he got close enough to Tim Krul to make him sort of miskick the ball straight to Young's feet. I mean, it was not the prettiest of goals, to say the least.
If there's one thing I'll say about that, before we quickly move on, is that Rooney, in this game, like, he missed a pretty good chance in the first half, so did Di Maria, but there were chances that were actually being created, which would not have happened if it was Falcao or RVP. both those guys don't have a leg to stand on, literally, in order to chase that ball to create that goal. So the last couple games that Rooney has been like leading the line, they've actually looked better and finally created chances.
Bernie, you know where Van Persie and Falcao should work?
Oh god.
Once they've done their careers?
Oh god, I can't wait.
At IHOP. Oh, all right, moving on, because I think that is brilliant. QPR Arsenal, London Derby. Arsenal winning that one 2-1. The game started off with QPR looking like Barcelona. First 20 minutes of the game, Green is Buffon and Charlie Austin is Messi, and it was just...
Green is always Buffon against Arsenal.
That's true, that's true. And the first 20 minutes, QPR looked really good at home, played very well. Zamora held up the ball. It was bringing everyone into play. They played an adventurous kind of 4-4-2, 4-4-1-1. But then Arsenal slowly started to get into the game. Gabriel got injured for no reason.
Trying to rest Koscielny.
Yes,
it lasted like 30
minutes. By
the way,
Alex, do you realize every time Koscielny is rested, he subs on for some reason?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyways, and then 2-1 Giroud with another goal. His stats are really backing him up. Sanchez with the second one out of literally nothing. And Ozil, to the hate of the haters, had a great game.
Well, I loved most about Sanchez's goal. Oh, Bernie has something to say about Ozil.
No, I don't. I think great is a little bit of an exaggeration. But anyway,
well, it's QPR. But the thing I love about Sanchez's goal is that there were a number of articles the day before. The one I specifically remember in the Telegraph. You're like, what is wrong with Sanchez? He can't play with Ozil. He's lost his form. And bam.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he has to do it again. Because then it's like, oh, really? That was just a one-off.
I think since Ozil's been back, he's had like 3 assists and 3 goals or something in like 4 games. Like, he's had good stats
Ozil
as well. Sanchez has dipped a bit.
Yeah. You know, this QPR team, I don't quite understand them because they have some really good players. Core players. And they have a good manager as well. At least I think he's good.
Mm.
But is it up to their fitness that they can't last the whole game? You said they started off like Barcelona. Why can't they pick up the
You're right, because they did. They pressured so hard and then you could see that they slowly started to not, you know, just... That pressure doesn't last. That's what Barca does to every team that come against them. Sure, you can have a great first 20 minutes, but we will beat you in the next 7.
But you're right in that when Harry was the manager of QPR, like, you think they brought in, they spent so much money, they have a rich owner, they had Harry Redknapp, and then he's brought them back up, obviously, whatever. But how are they still, they even had Loic Remy at one point, how are they still this crap? But then they get rid of him, and honestly, I think they're playing better. I don't know why, but they're playing better.
Charlie Austin is having great games, even though they lose or whatever. His goal against Arsenal was fantastic.
It was very good. There are a few players better at just shooting as many times as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he fit well in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a couple
give him a badge.
We've seen QPR have the attacking strength. Like a couple of games this season, they had like 40 shots on target. You know, both teams are all out of war. It's just that they don't have a defense after a certain point.
When they played against Tottenham, I think it was this weekend, QPR Tottenham. They also looked very good. Zamora hit the post. Charlie Austin had fantastic chances. Lloris was a beast for Tottenham.
For the grace of Lloris, good.
Exactly. So Tottenham still ended up winning that one 2-1.
Yeah, because
so.
Rob Green reverted from Buffon to Casillas.
Very true. Very true. Tottenham.
I mean, Rob Green's happy either way, man.
Quick question,
yeah,
and this might cover an array of subjects, but would you rather be a QPR, not getting results, but playing with heart,
or
an Everton, not playing with heart, and just struggling,
kind of
getting
it
more
depends,
results?
Depends who you ask. You ask the owners, they would love to be an Everton any day of the week.
Everton.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah. I mean, they lost recently to Stoke, 2-0. A lot of Everton fans are like, Martinez's time is up.
Yeah.
They will make it. I mean, they're still kind of in slight danger of relegation, but all the other teams below them are just as bad, if not worse. So they'll be
fine.
They're all
worse. The thing is, because we know who the owner of, like Bill Kenwright, the owner of Everton is,
mm-hmm.
Martinez, no chance he's going to sack him.
No. Also, he might win the bloody Europa League.
Right? And then you get a Champions League shot by doing
I love
that.
the way Bernie put that. It's like he has no speed dial. We all know the owner of Everton.
Well, this is because he calls everyone trying to sell the club to you.
Brady put in a bid.
I sent him a Nigerian this guy an email.
Stoke won that 2-0. Stoke again having a great mid-table season. This time, I mean, people saying why get rid of Pulis? when you know he's keeping you 10th, 11th, 9th, it's because they actually made a conscious decision to play better football. They're like, okay, it's been 3-4 seasons, we're Premier League regulars now, there's no risk of relegation, might as well play better. And that's what they did with Mark Hughes.
I'm uncomfortable.
Alex is very uncomfortable with
this. What, with us saying that they played good football?
Because he thinks Mark Hughes will see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Agreed, yes, but yeah. He's... Mourinho's the same thing. But he's a great coach, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, he'd be uncomfortable if he was managing Stoke too.
True.
Speaking of, and yeah. I'm just happy that you brought Mourinho, because there's a slight tangent I just want to take us on. Just bear with me here.
Yeah.
We had a long argument the other day, right? Yeah. About whenever, and Wenger seemed to understand that we were having this argument because he's talked about his successor, I think yesterday or something. But anyway, of who should take over Arsenal when Wenger's time is up. Now, at one point, Mourinho said Mourinho, and I said he wouldn't do that. Obviously, we know he wouldn't do that, whatever. Yeah. Then he brought up Simeone. I don't think that would work very well. Mourinho seems to think so. Who do you guys think should take the helm? Because almost 20 years, right?
How about this? Let's not say names. How about the type of manager? Do you want an established trophy-winning manager, or do you want an Arsene Wenger style of recruit, which is, you know, a young kind
you
of over
I'm gonna have to go on file here and recall Mohamed Singh that he wanted Martinez for Arsenal at that point in time.
That's true.
Yes. Pretty much. Thank you for going to the logbook and bringing that out.
Pretty much the whole of last season.
Yeah, and every time I talk about Arsenal Wenger's successor now, I can't get away without these guys going, oh, by the way, why not Martinez?
Yeah.
How about Rafael Benitez for Arsenal?
I like that.
What? I thought that was a joke.
No.
I think Rafael Benitez is a very good manager, but I wouldn't want him as Arsenal.
I think you'd play the worst. I mean, when you think about the worst, you can talk about Mourinho all you want. When you talk about the worst football there is to watch, it is a Rafa Benitez team. It is disgusting. How can you even agree to this? No.
I think maybe I want to win trophies and not play beautiful.
Yeah, you want to win the Carling Cup all the time? Sure. That's what Rafa...
He got to 2 Champions League finals.
Yeah, but he's not going to take you to Champions League final. Rafa, as much as Riché... I know. Wait, you said Rafa. And Rashid is Rafa's class.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it just occurred to me.
Spanish waitress.
There's a few things going on in my head right now. One is the small pool of top managers.
Yes.
Who else can I recommend? Okay, Martinez was up there until this season happened.
Yeah.
And then we have...
Klopp, same thing.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp. I'm not sure what's in the air.
Yeah.
But
it's Simeone, really.
There?
It's Simeone.
Who did I say to you guys?
You said De Boer, Bergkamp.
De Boer and Bergkamp together. They have to come together.
I'm done with experimenting, man. Done with, anyways, regardless, let's move on. But I'm done with experimenting. Let's just bring someone in who knows how to win trophies.
I'd like to hear what other people think.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Let us know.
That would be very interesting. Last game of the midweek was Liverpool-Burnley. Very straightforward. Henderson continuing his... good run of form,
continuing
his good run of form. Very nice.
A little bit of a stretch,
yeah.
But I'll give you
Brilliant Gerrard-esque finish shot from outside the box. Brilliant assist to Sturridge. Liverpool, not much to say. Really, they're playing well. But today they did play Blackburn in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And they came back with a 0-0 at Anfield. They're not good enough. Again, I hate when Brendan Rodgers does this. Experimenting. Sterling back to wing back. Like, why would you do that?
Well, that's to try and get him, Lallana, Coutinho,
and Emery
Sturridge in,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs to just stick with it. I mean, this FA Cup is a tangible trophy that they can win.
Yeah.
And at Liverpool, you know, I think Liverpool, Arsenal, United, those teams who are not going to win the league this season, we know that, they're battling for top four, those teams should take the FA Cup extremely seriously
and
use it as a platform. Arsenal, if they win back-to-back FA Cups, that really tells you that you can win something.
No,
Liverpool need to have that same mentality.
It's not just winning the FA Cup. You look at it, this draw now means that Liverpool has to play the replay between a game versus United and a game versus Arsenal. It's the worst possible place to get a redraw again. So just thinking of just not wanting to play in between those two games, you might as well just won the game.
And Ewood Park is not going to be
no,
place
it's
to
not.
Go to.
No,
I'd have to say though, on current form, should Liverpool get through the Blackburn tie, I would back them to beat either Manchester United or Arsenal in the semis.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
They definitely have a chance on
current form. He does have a point. To be fair, Liverpool have been red hot.
I agree with that on current form. I just don't think that Liverpool, when it comes to the big occasion, will be either. Unless it's not just Manchester United, but I don't think they'll beat United or beat Arsenal.
Might be a
Brendan
Rodgers
semi-final. I can't see it.
They are playing United.
I think I'm betting with Bruce Grovelar for $30 on something, and you now. Well, we have like $5.30.
Yeah.
Well, the Liverpool United game is at Anfield, and you know how they're always up for that game.
That's true. Yeah.
So, but it's interesting to mention the tough fixtures list. Every team has got all the big teams to play.
Yeah, Liverpool still have like Arsenal and United. United have every...
United has the worst. United every team have, in the top yeah, seven or
exactly,
something like that.
Exactly. Yes. It's... I mean, you know, as before we move on to United-Arsenal previewing that, that's happening tomorrow. Aston Villa-West Brom for the second time in like 4 days. Midland Derby, is that correct?
Yeah.
What's his name? Sherwood with another win against their rivals.
Tactics Tim.
2-0 Sinclair.
What's his win
really
percentage now? 50%?
Actually, I think he has something like 3 losses and 2 wins. Bernie, want to do the math really quick?
No.
Here's a stat. 3 losses, 2 wins, and the crowd storming the field.
Mm, yeah, that was...
That's true.
I mean, guys,
that is
Wembley.
Sensationalism.
Wembley is a... It's a big deal. I mean,
why
that's...
Why was Tony Pulis so angry about that?
Because they lost.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he wouldn't care if it was his own fans, but whatever.
Yeah, probably not.
But, I mean, I understand. Because, like, guys, getting to Wembley is a big deal. Aston Villa have had a really bad season. It seems like it's slightly on the up with 2 wins in a row now against the rivals. It's, you know.
Yeah, let them be.
And
at least the
coordination of Gabby Abonaho.
Yeah.
There was a good article about him in The Guardian recently. It was just like... Described his career as really curious, and I hadn't really thought about him much because he's mostly irrelevant, but it is a curious career. Like, he's managed to stay there for so long.
Yep.
He's seen out 15 strike
partners. He's played
for
England, correct?
He's played a few,
I think
three
he's
games
a record goal scorer now or something like that.
At one
Villa?
Or like in the Premier League.
In the Premier League.
At one point, there's a lot of talk about Arsene Wenger bringing him to Arsenal. Like, there was a
when
lot
he was
of
younger,
potential.
He was pretty
yeah.
good. Oh, another thing about this, so he wasn't actually fit to play this game.
Mm.
He was a bit sick. So when, but because Benteke was injured, he was forced to play him. When they took him off, he went and just puked.
Huh.
Like he couldn't anymore.
Wow, Messi-esque.
Yeah, guys. Now the big one this round is the United Arsenal game tomorrow, which is Monday.
From Old Trafford.
One, very upset. It's on a Monday. I want to like stab someone.
Yeah.
Two, really looking forward to it because as much as Arsenal always look great and then come up against United and don't look so good, I just always look forward to the game. I can't help it.
I mean, it's that thing from... we go back again. It's back in the day, Arsenal United were the two best teams. As far as I was concerned, the Premier League has never recovered from that point, like when those two teams were at the pinnacle. I mean, of course, we won the league 3 times in a row and you were like 20 points behind us. We get that, whatever. But end of the day, Arsenal was
you
always
get to the end
our
of the
top
day.
Rival.
Yeah.
And I saw some guy on Twitter saying, I really miss that Arsenal.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
We miss that United, too. But you really miss having that rival that was so good and gave you a hard time, but you still won.
Yeah, not a rival that loses the last, 16 out of 18 games you played out of them.
Wow.
It's
let's
very
hope,
close to the truth.
It's my boy.
Let's hope Sanchez gets past the whole team, scores a goal, and then Arsenal goes on to win the treble.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Sanchez doesn't have that mental block.
I mean, you have to beat Monaco first.
Right, yeah, don't. Yeah. Hey, I mean, not everyone can win the Champions League with 2 goals in the last 2 seconds of the game. They don't deserve to win.
I know,
guys, what's a bigger game for the Arsenal fans right now? Is it losing in the Champions League round of 16 yet again, even though they were handed a gift this year, or losing, sacrificing the FA Cup?
So you're saying if we had to pick one to go through? That is a good question.
Yeah. I picked the FA Cup.
I picked the FA Cup.
Manchester
United
win the FA Cup. We'll probably win the FA Cup.
No, you're not going to win the Champions League.
No.
Whether
so,
you overturn these guys or not.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. But it would be fun to watch us play a good Champions League tie, you know?
Yeah, how about reaching the quarterfinals?
What annoys me about this FA Cup quarterfinal is that it is a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
This should not be... This should be a semifinal minimum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No one cares about... Unfortunately, except for Liverpool fans, Liverpool against Blackburn in the quarterfinal. Yes, I get that. This is a big deal, so they moved it to a goddamn Monday.
Yeah.
But end of the day, these are the two biggest teams in the tournament left. Sorry, Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. It's just how it is.
No, yeah.
I can't predict this game for the life of me. I genuinely have no idea what's going to happen.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So I'm just going to, for the FA Cup, I have a friend who's an Aston Villa fan. There aren't many of them outside of Aston. So
Birmingham.
I'm just going to back him. I hope Tactics Tim wins.
No way! I hate Tactics Tim.
You say Tactics Tim winning the FA Cup?
Yeah, that's what I want to see happen.
So Arsenal knows that Arsenal is not going to win. I mean, Alex knows that.
No,
Arsenal
he hopes
not win.
He hopes either way.
He's setting himself up.
Yeah,
I'm diverting myself.
Okay, I'll tell you this right now. We're going to return to form. Arsenal lose to Manchester United while Manchester United play like crap.
Yeah.
Very, very, very likely Wayne Rooney scores a penalty.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely happening.
And I'm actually going to go for 2-1 United in this game. And you know what? It's no real surprise. Arsenal will play well, but... You know,
and how many will you lose by to Villa in the final?
Villa in the final... maybe penalties.
How many Arsenal
really misses one. You know.
So guys, let's do our roundtable thing really quickly where we do this. We haven't done it in a while. Predictions for the United-Arsenal game, Riche?
Actually, this is going to be tough. I might go to a replay. So I'm going to say a 1-1 draw.
Ah, very nice. Alex?
1-0 Arsenal.
1-1 for me.
2-1.
Perfect. All right, let's move on. 2-1 United? Well, that sets us up perfectly, as a stupid opinion, to Momo of the Week.
Momo of the Week.
So for Momo of the Week, we've got two candidates this week. My candidate is an Aston Villa fan who was videoed / pictured after their win in the FA Cup against West Brom with having a phallus-like shaped object on his bald head. He basically had a shaved head,
yeah.
And then there was a suction cup with this thing on it, and his mobile reception must be great.
Did you reckon it was the same phallus-shaped object that appeared on the transfer window?
Ah, maybe.
On Sky?
Oh, that one! Yes, yeah. That was Villa, wasn't it?
I thought no.
Didn't they have like Tom Kelly?
I really hope there's not more than one person doing the same thing. So let's hope it's the same guy.
It wasn't a ball pump, was it?
No.
For people that don't know what a phallus is, we're talking about a dildo. That's in essence what this was.
All right, great. Bernie can put it so bluntly. Bernie, what was your
So Mike Alone has been receiving a lot of criticism over the last couple of months since he became a pundit for being
actually, if anything, since the end of his playing career.
Yes,
even during his
playing
career.
Anytime he says anything.
Yes, because he's been incredibly boring and useless.
Yes.
So he's decided to become a little bit more
sophisticated,
you know, and ferocious, you know, with very opinionated. So he recently came out and said that, you know, Louis van Gaal should bear a lot of the criticism for Di Maria's form and all this stuff. Then he also went to go and criticize Di Maria, saying that, in essence, long story short, the best players, they come in from abroad and they just hit the ground running. And he used examples that don't make sense. Zola, I can agree with.
Yep.
Then he named Bergkamp and Thierry Henry. Both guys who had terrible first couple of months in the Premier League. What's up with Di Maria, who actually started off well, then tailed off?
Yeah.
These guys played horribly and people were doubting their transfers.
Henry had 8 games, he couldn't score a goal, barely could make a pass. Bergkamp had 6 games where he hadn't scored a goal, and then the whole rest of that season was still up and down. And then they became two of the biggest legends the Premier League has ever seen. How can he... like?
You can add Perez to that list.
You could add a lot of it. Just how does Owen like say these things? Like, he's paid to say this. Like, I'm so angry that he's paid to do this.
I mean, if you've seen Nemanja Vidic and Patrice Evra's debuts,
yeah,
you can,
oh my
you
God,
can
Evra.
See that you need time to adjust to a new country.
Evra's first game against City, he got subbed at halftime. Me and my brother, we were watching the game, and we were like, who's this left back from Monaco or whatever? We were literally on the floor laughing. I couldn't breathe at how bad Evra was playing that game. It was unbelievable.
In Serie A this week, there's sad news as the rest of the league has to bail out a team called Parma, a little-known team called Parma, just like the Greek economy gets bailed out by the Eurozone.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not as big of a bailout. It's only $5 million, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it only gets them through the next 2 games.
So it's like kind
of... supposed to be for the end of the rest of the season, apparently.
Really?
I don't know how that does it. But
here's the problem. If you bail them out only for the next 2 games, it's unfair because everybody gets 3-0 against Parma.
Yeah.
Except those 2 teams.
No. The next question is, what happens afterwards?
Yeah.
The team just implodes
at
the end of the season, basically.
Well, the thing is, like, you would think that there would be some rich owner who might want to buy Parma or something like that. But no. I mean, there's nothing that you're going to gain by buying any team in Italy at all.
No.
So.
No. There's not going to be
Parma.
Yeah.
You're like more on the economic front. Like, interest rates are pretty low. So you can just take out a massive loan and buy Parma.
I just had a financial advisement from Riche.
Yeah.
Or wants to buy Parma, please send me your
emails. Just buy it and make a sandwich.
Can we buy Parma?
They bought them for the guys that bought them now bought them for a euro.
I got $20.
What?
Yeah, I got a credit card.
Let's go.
All right, perfect. So
next
week,
which I'm about to buy, is going to be more expensive, comprehensively more expensive.
Things that are more
and valuable, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, that hashtag things more expensive than Parma. In the league, though, Roma continue their just non wanting to win the league.
Yeah. Morgan Santos actually spoke out and was like, "We can't keep pretending to the fans that we're in the hunt for this title.
This is over.
We keep drawing.
Like yeah. So yeah. Chievo 0-0 with Roma. Bad run of form there. Milan drew again to Verona 2-2. Inzaghi's job on the line. He's actually coming out of press conferences talking about how he's not worried about losing his job. As in, if you bring it up, you're going to
lose.
Well,
that's what you get when you don't hire a manager. Like,
yeah,
Inzaghi's not a manager.
Inzaghi.
Yeah. They need to hire someone who actually is a manager.
Spalletti.
Maybe, you know who I'd bring back from Milan? I'd bring Frank Rijkaard, for God's sake. He used to play there. He's a coach.
He hasn't been a manager for a while, though.
Well, Inzaghi has never been.
better than Seedorf and Inzaghi.
So yeah, Napoli as well. They were playing Inter today. Last we checked, it was 2-1 Napoli or something.
Yeah, it was Inter.
And like 70th minute. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shay, check that out for us while we
go. You know,
through.
The league table over there is pretty clustered, with the exception of Juventus at the top. But I know that Fiorentina, Lazio, and Napoli are all in the hunt for that elusive Champions League
the
place.
Third spot.
Is this where we go crazy over Mo Salah? And,
we will. That, we're getting to the Coppa Italia soon. My boy.
Okay.
We're getting to my boy. It's just we can get there for Shay. Still needs time to.
Well, I think for
score.
Sure that if Napoli did beat Inter, they'd be 2 points off Roma.
Oh, so it was a 2-2 draw in the end.
Ah, okay.
Inter Milan coming back from 2 goals down.
Oh, nice. Podolski scored by any chance?
Well, the first goal was Rodrigo Palacio. The second one was Icardi, who's on fire, by the way.
He actually
one
is.
One of the Argentinian contingent. Yes, they're Argentinian this time.
Mm-hmm.
That are actually lighting up the
no,
Serie A.
Argentingent.
He's actually playing very well. Icardi.
Argentine.
He's even though his team aren't playing very well, he plays pretty well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's 2-2 Napoli again, dropping very important 3 points.
Customary goals for Marek Hamzic and Gonzalo.
Higuain. Yeah.
Can we briefly comment about Mancini being a complete idiot?
Yeah, sure. All the time.
So Podolski played 8 games, was completely useless. Mancini is now taking him out of the team and said Podolski needs to give us more. I'm like, have you not watched football for the last 2 years?
We know what Podolski is going to give you. What did he expect? Run like bombing down the wing? It's not going to happen.
Well,
anyway,
Shaqiri is, you know, I mean, he replaced Podolski with Shaqiri.
I'm sure
Shaqiri is
doing his thing.
He's doing fine.
Oh, right.
He's
but
okay.
Mancini said that they're going to win the league next year.
All right, guys, let's not even...
It's nice to have high hopes and ambitions, but just to put that in perspective, AC and Inter Milan are both like 10th and 11th, or 9th and 10th. Something like that.
A stunning naivety from Mancini. He should know it's fixed.
The Coppa Italia, which clearly isn't fixed. Fiorentina beating Juve 2-1 at Juve, ending their 49 home unbeaten streak.
At the Juventus Stadium.
Yeah, at the Juventus Stadium. I wonder what team plays there. My boy, little Pharaoh, Mo Salah. Two brilliant goals. Just the youth and the exuberance and the finish. Mm.
To be fair, I have to say the first goal was a lot better than the second one.
True, but the first goal, it was going to be a lot better than any goal.
You can, don't bring him down, bro.
Mohamed
might just jump over and kick you in the face.
70 yards, I think he sprinted with that ball.
Yeah,
and he nutmegged the defender.
Mm-hmm. And he put it perfectly top corner. Storari, Buffon,
Storari.
I don't care who's in goal.
So... Cuadrado, who?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, Chelsea do this so well. Buy a good potential player, send him out on loan, get tons of money for them. Fiorentina will buy him, same as they did with De Bruyne. Same,
sure,
it almost happened. Yeah, sure, exactly.
But then they
Courtois is just lucky that he's important, or else Courtois would have been.
That is true.
Yeah,
Atletico couldn't afford him. That was the main problem.
That's true. So yeah, that's what happened in Italy. Moving on to Spain. A lot happening in Spain.
Yeah.
2014
mm-hmm.
has been a great year for Madrid. They were on course to winning La Liga,
mm-hmm.
the Champions League, the Premier League, the Serie A, the Club World Cup, and even the World Cup.
The Championship as well.
Yeah, the Championship, everything.
I think they have a
Carly Cup.
They have a tournament in Mars that they were going to win.
Yes, they were on course.
Because they're Galacticos.
Exactly. So, they were Africa Cup of Nations contenders.
Yeah.
They were on course to win everything
all
under
the
sun. All the things. And then... Literally, January 1st hit, and they can't like do anything. Ronaldo hasn't registered a shot on target in the past 4 games. Think for a second with me how many shots Ronaldo takes.
Game before, I think, didn't he?
No.
And some drop that lasted like a month or so.
Not in the league,
header,
if he goes in the cup.
Not having a girlfriend?
Oh, that was a cup.
That was possible, yeah.
So either way, Real Madrid are...
Literally, the sands of the Arabian shores have just clogged their wheels.
Yes,
that
naturally.
Was so poetic. I don't know what to do with myself.
They lost to Bilbao this weekend, 1-0. Bullet header from Adoriz.
Yeah.
Just absolute bullet.
It was beautiful. It actually swerved
it did.
In midair.
It
like
did.
I've never seen a header swerve like that. That was
Really, I can recall a couple of headers that I've had. That
But no, that's unfair.
Really?
We never bring you into the equation, or else it's just the
watch. You've won enough Ballon d'Ors, man.
When it's a header, you know.
I liked Mo's description of Marcelo's positioning. And Bernie, I think, said, this guy is not a defender. And Mo said, he's not anything. He's a dude on a field.
That's literally all he is.
There was, at one point, Mo was like, did you see that? And it was literally Marcelo. He had marauded through, we did it through five people. He was at the box, about to shoot, and he passed. I was like, you might as well have shot after that.
Yeah, he was center mid at one point.
I feel like when he's off camera, he's like joined another game, done a few minutes there, and then comes back.
He's incredible. Like, his positioning is horrendous.
You know what, to be honest, it was a good cross, it was a really good header, probably unexpected.
Yeah.
But what was also unexpected was, towards the end of the game, Gareth Bale almost came up with a 50-yard goal.
He did.
He didn't mean it.
He didn't know.
It was a cross, wasn't
it?
It was a cross,
but yes, the game ended 1-0 to Bilbao. That means all Real Madrid fans were waiting for the Barca versus Rayo Vallecano game, and obviously Barca crushed them 6-1.
Yeah.
Messi with a hat-trick. Suarez is starting to, you know, get going. And you know what? Slowly but surely, he might be a better buy than Bale.
This is disturbing how in sync that trio is. It's actually disturbing. I mean, you can beat up on little teams all you want, sure, but you have to beat who's in front of you, and they're destroying.
There was a stat that came up. Them three are already better than Benzema, Bale, Ronaldo. I mean, Suarez's stats, as bad as he's been, are already better than Bale.
He hasn't been bad.
But, in the last month,
you know, again, it's how Michael Owen is so stupid, because it took him a while to get acclimatized to a new system, new country, all that stuff, and I look at him. It's devastating how good
he is. To be fair, he was also assisting a lot of players in the beginning.
He was.
And Messi missed a penalty as well.
Again?
Yeah.
It's like the second penalty.
But they made him retake it.
But
this
still,
point, give it to Suarez. Like, I get it. But give it to Suarez.
Who's the boss?
Speaking of bosses, interesting stat. So, you know, Ronaldo scored a free kick in 51 takes.
Yes.
And they still let him take it. Yeah. Who's the boss?
Exactly. You want to take Messi up penalties for two? Ronaldo scored 50 free kicks.
Man, Luis is so much better.
Anyway, speaking of all that stuff, I think it's a good time to go into the scouting report.
Brazilian Spaniard Diego Costa.
I honestly think, guys, he's slightly overrated. It's what Chelsea needed, but he is not. He's not a footballer. He's not good with the ball at his feet. He's not. He looked. You know my type of.
So he's bony. Basically.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So we should end this by talking about the first game of the MLS season. And not all of them, but the one that we really care about. Toronto FC opening their account against. The Vancouver Rocher, you have a new nickname for them?
The Shite Caps.
Bit harsh, but quite funny.
I mean, it's great for the rivalry.
and
you heard it here first, by the way.
You guys know what white caps mean?
The mountains. The snow on top of the mountains.
That's not what I thought it meant. Because white caps are like, you know, when waves happen, and they like the top of a wave is called a white cap. I thought
their logo has a mountain with snow on top.
Oh, okay, I don't know that.
I thought they have Whistler. A dental reference, you know.
Ah, yeah. True. Or a hat that's white.
Yeah. Anyway, Toronto FC promptly swept them aside. It went 1-0 down.
Oh, come on, man. What? Come on. I get it. TFC.
He's saying they got swept aside and went 1-0 down. He was making a joke.
Oh.
You didn't get it.
I thought he actually...
1-0 down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looked horrible.
Agreed.
Horrible high line, which, you know...
Oh, my God. Defensively horrible.
Yes. But came back. Jovinko had a very good little debut. I find it very hard to mention Jovinko without mentioning little.
Yeah.
Great assist for the Altidore goal. Slipped it in. I mean, that's the type of nuanced through pass we haven't seen from Toronto.
It was a great assist for that. And then for the Robbie Finley goal, it was a great through pass that he played on.
Across the left wing, who
crossed it in. But that pass is the type of thing that's class. That is class.
Yeah, he had a good game. Altidore is huge. That's really what I got out of it.
Literally. He's a massive block. It's unbelievable that he can even find space in the 6-yard box.
It's like, where can I stand?
Which makes his finish even more impressive, because that through ball by Giovinco and Altidore runs onto it one time, runs the keeper with his left foot, one time finishes the ball. Two-touch finish.
Either meant it or not, his first touch was perfection.
Yeah. And even his chest control to get the penalty
He's all chest.
Like to bring it down.
Yeah. He's all chest.
Was really good.
I mean, the surface area alone.
Yeah. The ball just gravitates towards it, if anything.
But then Panenka penalty to finish the day off.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching. I was like, really, bro?
Seriously?
Really?
It's like,
really?
He's feeling himself.
Yeah, that was
dodgy.
That was dodgy. But I did like how he baited the Whitecaps fans afterwards.
Yeah, you know what? He hasn't had the chance to do that in a long time, actually. 2 years,
he's
42
scored two
games,
in like,
one goal.
Yeah.
First time, now he probably wants to engineer move back. He thinks he's
ready for the premiership.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened. TFC got three important wins. They haven't beaten Vancouver in so long away.
Points.
Sorry?
Important points.
What did I say?
Wins.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Can
not three. Yeah.
We're top of the league, guys.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
Top of the league,
yeah, you're top of the league. And if TFC has seven away games in a row,
yeah,
due to the incompetence of the construction crew at BMO Field.
You know what? It's just growing pains. We got a whole another tier in the stands coming up, and we're going to double our stadium capacity in size.
They have more season tickets sold this season than the, what's that hockey team? The Maple Leafs. That's right.
What?
Yep.
Only no
the
way.
Most valuable
yep.
hockey
this
franchise.
Is now the most well-supported sports franchise in Toronto.
Oh, that is impressive. I'll
that's something
that.
To be proud of.
Not surprising.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And it just shows how football is really, really, really growing in this
yeah.
city.
True.
And the place where it's growing, Orlando, I mean, first day, 62,000 people show up to see Kaká versus David Villa. Well, Orlando versus
I've Orlando, never, so I've never seen so much purple in my life.
It was really, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
it
no.
No?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I tuned in 5 minutes and I'm like, I can't do this.
I mean, you're wearing purple right now. Like,
yeah.
I haven't looked at you in
it's
the
his
eye.
Favorite color.
No, fair. But
yeah.
That's because you don't have your glasses on.
Kaká scored the equalizer from a brilliantly deflected free kick.
It was genius.
It was all guys, it's Kaká.
He
it
meant
it
the way
play.
Frank Lampard made
yeah.
the most of deflected shots.
Yes, sir.
battle of the two new franchises, one can argue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a really ugly crap goal in the end by Kaká.
Wow. No sugarcoating.
But he celebrated like it was a World Cup.
Yeah, we were trying to
yeah.
watch this goal. We're like, oh my god, it's a free kick. Guys, just watch. Oh, that was so bad. That
was
a horrible goal.
It was, and some deflections are okay. This
yeah.
was a pretty bad
it just
deflection.
Like bubbled into the
yeah.
net.
Regardless, it's
yeah.
about the big picture for them.
62,000
first
fans
game,
yeah.
62,000 fans. It's, you know, it's let's hope they can do well this season.
For me,
well,
the highlight was that the game was not disrupted by any sinkholes.
What was that stat that you added about the capacity of the stadium in comparison to another team?
Oh, Anfield?
Yeah, Brady's like, oh, they hold more. Okay, Brady was saying that they had to add like 20,000 seats to get everyone
no,
in there.
No, they filled, it was 60,000.
Yeah.
So firstly, there was the Citrus Bowl, so it was an NFL stadium. They're building their stadium, which will be complete next year, which will have like 20,000 capacity. But this is 60,000, and then they had to add 2,000 standing, so 2,000 more tickets for people who can stand. Not who can stand, but like...
No, that's brilliant. Specifically. This was the question online. Can you stand? Get in there.
You will never stand alone.
Very nice. All right, guys. Stop messing about. Till next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.